Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with the legendary Don Fry, Sean McCorkle. You popped up on my TikTok feed, by the way.
Did I really?
Yeah, because it was like worst UFC debuts ever. And
I thought they were going to say I was the worst.
No. It was you beating Mark Hunt. It was him.
So it couldn't be that I made the best debut. It had to be he was the worst.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that kind of was the case. But it's funny, though, because you always talk about how he almost hit you and you still felt it. And I watched it in slow motion. He was pretty close.
Dude, his jumping left hook. I remember it's like when you're the catcher in baseball and you know you're standing a little too close to play because you heard the baseball bat go right by your face. You know what I mean? Or whatever. But it was like when you're in there, it felt like a movie, like the Matrix or whatever. I'm sure it didn't look as impressive as it was, but I remember thinking, holy shit, that would have knocked me out if he'd hit me with that left hand. Cause it was just so much faster in person, man. It's so much faster when you're in there.
And then you pull guard. Did you pull guard or did you trip?
No, that was a horrible takedown attempt. That ended up turning into me pulling guard. Basically, like I went to do it and kind of slipped at the time I was trying to take him down, and he just fell on top of me. So I was like, okay, well, good enough. I'll tell you what, I wasn't letting him back up. I was locked on, man. I was like, I do not want to stand back up with this dude. So.
Yeah, and then that Kimura was perfect, and then you could tell he was so mad. The look on his face, he was just pissed.
He was mad after, even in the back, I apologized for breaking his arm. I said, dude, listen, I'm sorry. I wouldn't have let go, but I'm like, I'm sorry you didn't tap. Sorry it broke. He goes, yep. And I'm like, dude, you've always been one of my heroes. Yep. Like, I can't even finish the sentence, you know? Just, yep. And I was like, all right, well, I guess we're not going to be friends. So.
I guess that. So. Who the fuck gave you that idea? You just beat him.
Nothing will ever beat, though, Don Fry, literally my hero, commentating the first fight I ever lost outside the UFC. And hearing him say after the first leg kick I took that wasn't even solid, McCorkle looks like he's ready to quit. Like I heard that in the cage. I turned and looked like, dude, do I? Like that was just like, but it hurt deep in my soul when I heard Don Fry say live, like I'm ready to quit already. I was like, dude, it didn't even hurt.
Remember we had Henry Cejudo on after he lost to Aljamain, and Don Fry was like, Henry almost started crying. Don Fry was like,
I guarantee you, Henry Cejudo will never forget that day.
Because I was like, he's like, you wrestled like a pussy. You fought like a pussy, man. He's like, you need to, you know, get your balls bucked. And I was like, holy shit. But that's what a real friend's going to tell you. Jason.
Yeah.
What was the hardest anyone ever, like, criticized your coach after one of your fights?
I don't know. Fuck, that's a hard question. Shit, I don't know. Fuck. That I didn't knock out the Japanese guy? Yeah, they gave me shit that I didn't knock out this guy. And I was pretty pissed about it. I was like very, very emotional about them criticism. Yeah, I know that's a shitty answer, but whatever. I feel like it's going to be a shitty podcast already. What the fuck are we just talking about our negatives right now?
No, I'm not. I was not talking about our negatives. I was on TikTok. And then McCorkle's fight came up against Mark Hunt. And it was like worst debut in the history of the UFC was Mark Hunt. So I was just asking him about it. As a coach, when I coach the little kids, the last thing I do when someone loses is be like, what happened? Or what were you thinking? Or what went wrong? Because, like, you got the rest. I'm always just like, hey, man, we'll fix it on Monday. You know, keep your head up. You gave it your best. Bad luck. You know, shit happens. You know,
we'll deal with it.
I don't think that I don't think that but other coaches are different. I feel like Don Fry would tell his guy right then and there.
Bobby Douglas, I lost a wrestling match back in college. I lost a lot of them. But one of them, we were already in Pennsylvania and I lost, and Bobby says, you know, Don, I think that your social life is interfering with your wrestling. Because you know I like to go out and drink.
Was Bobby right?
Oh, yeah, he was right. You're damn right.
The worst is, you know how it is, when someone hurts your feelings and they're not trying to, it hurts way more than when they're trying
to. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or whatever. It's like when they're not trying to, like, I mean, listen, no offense, but you gained some weight. And I'm like, what part could I not take offense to that on? It's like, which part of that was not supposed to be offensive? But, when they're not even, when a coach is like, listen, dude, you look terrible in that first round. You're like, thanks. That's what I I realize that. I do realize I'm blue. Or listen, you lost that round. Like, are you kidding? I was on bottom the entire round getting punched in the face. Why would I have lost? Of course I lost that round. You know, like, but then, when they don't mean to hurt your feelings.
My wife is there. She'll be like, oh, it's so funny. My friends think you make so much money. I'm like, that's hilarious. That's
that's funny, honey. Thanks a lot.
Meanwhile, this kid that I used to like, this kid in my high school, right? He was like, he basically got kicked out of my high school for being too annoying, driving everyone crazy. He was
special. Is that an expellable offense? Too annoying?
Yeah, dude. He was always getting in trouble. He was a bully. He'd pick on all the kids. He was funny, though. It was actually kind of a funny bully, but he was just an idiot. And then I saw him at the reunion. Like 30 years later, he got kicked out of the reunion for going up to girls and being like, you could have had this. And then
is this a Fight Club situation where the plot twist is you're talking about yourself?
No, not me. I didn't get kicked out for being too annoying. But he's
like, I got this friend. It burns when he pees. What should I tell him?
So this guy was like, so this guy was telling all these kids, like, and then someone was like, oh, I heard you're dating the guy. And then someone's like, oh, was that the black guy? And then he goes, ew. Like, so then this girl got fucking flipped out. They threw him out of the reunion for being too annoying. Right. So something's wrong with this guy. I think he's like a pretty bad alcoholic. Right. So so the guy writes randomly, a teacher from my high school says to me, hey, Adam, I hope that you take up that guy's offer and then beat that shit out of Chris for $100,000. I was like, huh? Like, I didn't know what he was.
The cash?
Yeah. So then he posts on like Facebook, real money on the table. No bullshit. Not like a parent manipulating Hyde where I went to high school that you'll never see back your entire life. Right. Cause I went to this boarding school for troubled kids, yada, yada, or kids who needed to refocus their energy. Anyway, he goes,
You?
Yeah.
That's hard to believe.
He goes, I challenge three naysayers to a fight. No questions asked. I'll call Dana if you want me to set up a line. And he goes, Adam Hunter, $100,000, any place, anywhere, anytime. I have the money in cash.
We're training on Monday, bro. Let's get it out.
He goes, put it down. I know you love money more than itself, Greenberg. That's my last name. So it's a Jewish thing, right? So then
you with the anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
So bro, then, come on, bro. You gotta do it for your culture, Adam.
Dude, I hit him up, right? I go, are you serious about the $100,000 to fight? He goes, yeah, when and where? And then he goes, do I call Dana or Gutfeld? I'm like, okay. So I go, dude, we don't have to involve any of them. Give me $50,000 deposit. I'll show up tomorrow and let's do it, right? And I was like, you need my Zelle. He goes, I love you, man. We don't have to rush into this and make it happen. And we can have it in the fall.
So then, you fucked up. You should have called him out on Facebook, like in a public forum. You're like having a back alley deal, let him wiggle his way out.
I go, nah, let's do it Monday. And he goes, I'm going to cut my hair. Like I don't know what. I go, dude,
I heard your wife said she thought it was funny that he thinks you have $100,000 to bet.
And then he goes, "How you doing, by the way?" I go, "Dude, for real, I could use $100,000 to beat you up again. Let's make it happen tomorrow. Like, I will be on a flight to Boston." And then he's like, "No, I need a training camp, and the whole thing." So, yeah.
You mouth off, man. If you're a mouth off, you gotta be in shape, man. You can't need a training camp.
Yeah, then he goes, "I'm no pussy,
man. I'll beat your ass."
He goes, "You're still the best wrestler, but I could kick your ass. Do you have $100,000 to back it up with?" I just wrote "go to bed," and he goes, "Yes, sir." So that was the end of.
I got a funny class reunion story for you, real quick. You know how it's always a competition for everybody, like who was the most successful. Like, I don't know if you guys know that, but like when you go, every girl goes back, who's the richest, who's the whatever. So in my class reunion, we only had 28 kids in our graduating class. And I walk in, I think it's my 15th or year or whatever, and I was at the height of my UFC popularity, whatever that is. But the thing, and I came walking, I looked around, I said, "Well, I guess I won, huh, guys?" And like looking young and in shape, and you know, everybody else mid-30s, all out of shape. I was like, "I guess I won, huh?" And they were like, "What do you mean?" I said, "Like the whole, you know, post-life contest, I guess I'm the winner, huh?" And everybody was just quiet and looking at me. So pretty much like most of my jokes.
Dude, you're like 80% of the jokes are just to make yourself laugh.
Yeah, always.
Like you and like Norm MacDonald are like two people that like that I met that like always is all about like Jason kind of himself too. Jason tries to make
himself laugh. I think Norm MacDonald's funny.
Yeah, or people that aren't there. Jason,
I'm just interested in my own humor. Yeah, I'm with McCorkle on this one. It's sometimes I'm like laughing at what is not funny about the situation, you know? I don't know.
Hard to explain. Did you graduate high school or no?
Yeah.
Oh, did you try college or no?
No. I mean, I tried. I went there for the parties. It was pretty awesome. I went to college for judo. That was it.
But did you enroll in the school?
I enrolled, but I never gave the payment. So I guess I technically wasn't enrolled.
Dude, there's this comic I know who like is always he's always walking the crowd. Like he'll be like, "How'd I do?" I'm like, "Some people stayed, right?" And then he's always like, "Hey, get me into the Laugh Factory." I'm like, "I can't." He's like, "Why?" I'm like, "Because it's called the Laugh Factory. If it was called the Frown Factory or the fucking, you know, Refund Factory," this dude never, right? So he always like, he's on some website where sugardaddies.com, where he tells these girls he's going to pay for all this shit. He never does. He's been thrown off like 10 of those. And then he wants to write a book called Confessions of a Sugar Daddy. I'm like, "But you never actually pay anybody." Like that's not wow.
That's the confession.
Does he bang the girls?
Yes, he bangs the girls and then fucking goes them. Like he's the, anyway. I bring this up because when he was 30 years old, he's a big guy. He went to like a local college that he didn't go to and tried out for the football team, and made the second round of cuts. But he didn't go to the school. He just wanted to like be on. He thought he could like get away with being on the football team. But he's playing like 17-year-olds. He's like 30. And then eventually they like call the police and like got him out, like off the premises.
He's just assaulting children. What a son of a bitch. That's great. And if you want to do that, you got to join middle school wrestling coaches.
Yeah.
I know that there was, what was I going to tell you? Damn it. It was about Dave Herman. I don't know, Don. I think Don fought Dave. You fought Dave Herman, right, Don? Late in your career. Never trained a day in his life. Just freak athlete. Really, just naturally talented. He's once said jujitsu doesn't work on me, and blah blah blah. But he, I guess he was a state champion wrestler in high school, but barely went to practice. And he went to IU's wrestling practice his freshman year and was basically ragdolling people there that had been there 3-4 years. Or at least couldn't get taken down or whatever. Like, "Would you be interested in wrestling, like walking on?" And he goes, "As long as they don't have to come to practice." And they were like, "No, seriously." He said, "No, seriously. Like, no, I don't need a scholarship. I don't need anything. If I don't have to come practice, I'll wrestle for you." And the guy was, I guess the coach, I was told the coach was like, "What the hell? We need another heavyweight." You know what I mean? Or whatever. So let him try. So he ended up his senior year. By the time it was all said and done, he finished like 7th in the country his senior year and swears to this day he attended a total of like 10 wrestling practices his whole career, like 4 years there, you know?
Dude, sometimes kids just have that. Dude, we had a kid
naturally talented, man.
We had a kid in middle school when football gets out. We had this this kid who was black, and he shows up, and he's like, we had a match. He's like, can I wrestle? I'm putting him in the match, and I'm like, you never wrestled before, but okay. So we put him out there. He gets in, like, I'm like, all right, man, just get in a 3-point stance, just tackle the kid, and then let him up, right? So he does that. He gets to the football stance, like wraps him up, like not even elbows in, like wraps the kid up, throws him on his head, lets him up. We end up building a score, like he wins like 18-7 or something. He did never. I felt so bad for this other kid that probably went to every single practice, and like all he did was.
Parents had him dedicated to wrestling his whole life, and he just gets beat by a football player. And like, well,
yeah, yeah. Jason, you ever have any of those super athletic freaky kids you're coaching?
Yeah, like I have a little kid that is like 11, but he's like 16-year-old body. I'm like, dude, he does is headlock the bejesus out of all the little kids and like breaks their jaw. It's very frustrating, dude. It's really frustrating because I have to like spend every class teaching. Headlock escapes, and still nobody gets out of his headlock. Yeah. It's real weird. Let me just put this kid in the older class, but they won't let me. I'm like, come on.
When Joe Rogan said that you had retard strength, right, and during your fight, why did he say that about you?
Dude, I don't know. I just can go to like some weird goon thing where I will take it up to another notch, some kind of adrenaline fucking psychoness. Where all of a sudden, yeah, I get retarded strong.
But did you ever roll with Rogan?
Yeah.
How did you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason he knew I had retard strength, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, what's this latest? Look, man, I don't know if you've been watching YouTube, and I don't know what's wrong with my algorithm, but there is like a Joe Rogan hate industrial complex right now. Dumping on his.
It's Brendan Schaub's fault. It's literally Brendan Schaub's fault.
I think you might be right about that. I think the residual hate from Brendan Schaub, and the weird thing about it is that I'm here on the podcast with Sean McCorkle, the king of the Brendan Schaub haters. Okay, I you know, literally your name on the Zoom is Schaub sucks. Okay,
I didn't know that.
Oddly amount. Of hate. So it's so far gone. The Brendan Schaub hate is so far gone that it's kind of hack at this point. Like maybe
you don't understand. You know what I'm saying? He'll DM me like 50 things in a row about Schaub, and I'll just ignore it, like he's not talking, or I'll just be like cool, like or like I'll give him a thumbs up. He knows I don't give a fuck about this. Like I don't understand. I think this is why
it's just to irritate Adam. Like, I'll be like, hey, do you know Schaub just got paid $25,000 to do a corporate event and bombed for 10 minutes? And like, someone will tell me that. And I just like, I enjoy hurting other people's hearts sometimes, like to let them know that. Cause I'll tell you what, if you want proof Jews don't run Hollywood, really, how is Adam not more like more famous than Brendan Schaub as a comedian? And he's a Jew and Schaub's not. You know what I mean? So, like, that's proof for me.
Jason, you don't understand. Like, I think what Sean, you know, became a professional, he started training at 27 and made the UFC at 32, right? Yeah, but you know, and that has, you're insane.
It was actually 29 and 32, but
29, 3 years made the UFC. You have to have an insane focus of like, that's all he would think about. Somehow that got transferred to Brendan Schaub. Like the fucking.
I know. Why are you hating on Schaub, man? Like, look, Schaub got lucky for sure. I mean, you know, but he did pretty good with it. You know, you can't really. And at this stage in the game, it's like really like I don't understand why you spend so much energy hating on the guy. It's weird. Does he deserve all that?
He always takes shots at me. Like, okay, we were doing an audition. Adam was there, but he was late that day. Ironically, he was late and I was on time, which is always the opposite in everything we do. I'm always late, but. We were doing an audition for some show for Spike TV where they were going to just copy Tosh.0 and have a fighter and a comedian. You remember that, Adam? They were going to do that. They were just doing a pilot for it. And so Schaub comes walking in with Brian Callen, and I hear him say, oh, not this dude. Like right in the middle of my audition, I look up. I'm like, you got something to say? And he acts like he didn't, like as if it wasn't him that said it. And so Joe Rogan was talking about how funny I was on this podcast one time, which is pretty cool to hear the biggest podcast in the world. Somebody's talking about somebody that's not even famous like me. Like, dude, Sean McCorkle's a funny dude. And Shaw's like, yeah, what is he, like an Uber driver now or something? Like, and I had never said anything about him at that point. He just always was throwing little things in. And it started with Matt Mitrione. It was his fault. Long story even longer. Mitrione said, will you talk trash for me about Shaw to help build up our fight, which I'm way better at than fighting. And so I was like, okay, is anything off limits? Is he cool? No, he's cool with whatever. He doesn't mind. And so I was like, okay, so I go ahead and start devastating Shab. Shab hits Mitrione up. Why are you getting so personal? Mitrione's like, oh, McCorkle hacked my Twitter. I don't know, man. And so then he like puts all of me under the bus. Yeah, and so Shab starts attacking me all the time. And I was like, dude, if you want to start making fun online, like we can really go there. And then I just started, I don't know, I tend to run things in the ground, so I don't actually hate Brendan Schaub at all.
Began, and then never again was the internet the same. Schwab, right. McCorkle, all day, every day, clogging up the internet with hate. Yeah, I'm in
pretty much, but yeah. Now it's at a point where people, if I can't even make a status, and people are like, dude, I can't believe you put a status on there and it didn't include Brendan Schaub or Jesse Parsley. Like, why? Like, I thought I was waiting for a joke at the end. So now I feel pressured to do it, like to make fun of it. People are like, dude, how come you're never talking shit about Schaub? And I'm like, I don't really have a problem with him. It was just to try to be fun. Like, I put on there one day that Donald Trump threatened Iran and said they didn't shut down their nuclear plan or their program. They were sending Schaub over there and he was going to bomb like nobody had ever bombed before on a 12-city tour. You know, I put that on there. And of course, when it gets 6,000 likes and 800 retweets, you're like, okay, well, I found my target market, you know what I mean, or whatever. Let me come up with something else about Schwab, you know. And
sorry, opened the can of Schwab. All right, my bad. I didn't even, my whole question was for Adam. Adam, does Joe Rogan deserve all the hate for his?
No, of course not. I think the special was good. I think the special, was it the funniest special I've ever seen? No. Was it the worst special? No, it was better than it was, on the spectrum of like great, horrible.
5-star rating. 5-star rating. Where are we going?
I would say 4 or 4.5. Like for real. Like
that's very good.
I liked it. But the thing was, is that if I had to critique it, and the honest critique was that he screamed every punch on it. Yeah. And I don't know if that's because there was 15,000 people there, and 15,000 people. And you want to make sure, and you're treating it like it's 15,000 people. The problem with doing that is on camera, it doesn't look as good, it doesn't sound as good, and it's like he oversold all the jokes, and I felt like it kind of took away from the jokes. Because now you're more focused on the screaming than what he's actually saying.
I was going to say, I enjoyed it because I have 50% hearing loss in my left ear from popping my eardrum, and I was actually able to hear every joke for once. So there was no problem at all in hearing the punchlines because he was yelling the entire time. So
that's my critique, is that it's like seeing
Sam Kinison.
Like, Brandon Kinison would start off real slow and this, and then the end, whereas like Rogan would start off with, it was nowhere really to go with it because it was already there.
To me, what's more fascinating is the fact, like, because I agree with you. It was like, like a good, solid special, is funny, or whatever. But to me, the standard that YouTube is holding him to is crazy. Like, they're like totally hating on him. Like, every different, it's crazy. Like, I don't know what I tapped into the algorithm, but every one of my YouTube, I literally have some guy who has like 200 followers hating on Joe Rogan. I don't know why YouTube is trying to poison me against old Rogies, but it is. There's something going on.
No, I mean, I liked it. I
was going to say, there really is legitimately a website with over 1 million members that hate Brendan Schaub, and anyone associated with him, then they start catching it too. So because they're like, it's Rogan's fault, he's famous. And so that 1 million people, they call him homeless cats, long story. They have all, anyone, like now they hate Chris D'Elia because he's associated with him. Now they hate, like anybody that goes on his show, they hate that. Now they hate whoever takes his shirt off all the time. They hate that guy now, the Bert Kreischer guy. Like, they all, because he was friends with Schaub. So, like, it's just, a million people can do a lot of stuff when it comes to, it really is amazing. Like, 1 million people online can really
shift the flow
of what the algorithm.
And I don't know why I'm not catching strays. I go over there sometimes.
Look, all of a sudden, if you become the most successful, whatever, people just they love to build you up, and then they love to take you down. If people aren't hating you, you're doing something wrong, you know. But also, I think with Rogan, you know, I think a problem a lot of times with headliners is that it used to be if you were like a huge fucking headliner, right? Let's say you were even Chris Rock, you would see Chris Rock at the Comedy Cellar. You know, working on his new shit, having to follow Dave Attell and the Godfreys and all these people. And they would get wrecked for a while because it just took them a while because they had to get their thing. But now everyone's just doing their own headlining show. So Rogue is going to shows where everyone's, even Brendan Schaub, you know, Brendan Schaub didn't have to really follow like the Killers. He just kind of did his thing and then went out and toured it. So I think that the crowds were his crowds. But then you put it on TV, you're like, man, if you're not one of his crowds, you listen to his podcast, you're like, you know, what's going on here? So I think that's also an issue. I had a show in Vancouver last week. I was in Vancouver, and I was asking this couple, and I was like, talking about eating vagina. And I was like, sir, you eat a vagina? He goes, yeah, from the back. Yeah, everyone started dying, but like I'm like, wait, so you go through the ass to get to the vagina? That seems like a long road. But Jason, I feel like that's something you'd be into.
Buddy, listen, you've been married way too long, bro. You forget the joy of poking your nose in a brown eye and you know what I mean? Cowing down on some box, bro. Straight going to seafood salad on the back way, you know what I mean?
So like, you go right to the ass.
And you can avoid it, you know, just keep your nose pointed up like, you know, you're stuck up and, you know, poke your chin outwards and everybody has a good time. I don't understand. You know what? Yeah, your old lady is just making you.
Look, I'm all about 69 and stuff. I don't really like to eat my old lady's ass too much. I guess after showers and stuff, you know, but yeah. And then there
Why do you want to take a shower before you do that?
I like that. I think I'm going to use that. Is that okay if I use that?
Right. How about it?
And then there was a Chinese couple, like straight from, like, I didn't realize how like they must have just got here from China, right? And
right off the boat.
Yeah, right off the boat, right? So then I'm asking them. I'm like, oh, do you guys are you guys having sex or something? And then the guy goes,
there's 5 billion of them. Yeah, they have sex here.
Well, he goes with my wife's parents' permission, and everyone just started like dying, like with her permission. Like, what do you call before you fuck her? Like, that's.
It sounds like your audience had all the punchlines that day.
100%. Jason, did you have to call John Cleese before you had sex or no?
Thanks.
You have to text them. Nice. Bill Dawes is just getting out of jiu-jitsu. Now, did you guys watch the fights last week?
Oh yeah,
yes.
A little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
My quick thought on Israel Adesanya. I think he still beats almost everyone in that division. But
he looked old as shit, tripping over his own feet. You know, he just got sloppy after. He like beat the guy for 4 fucking rounds and then tripped over his own feet to fall down to a damn. And how does that shit work? How does that schoolyard bully tactic work? And it works, man. It's like Dricus du Plessis is freaking spamming buttons on UFC 4 and just touching, you know what I mean? Just running forward with that.
I got 4 words out. Okay. I was going to get to my second point in the sentence. I got 4 out. Okay. But I'm saying is it kind of reminds me of Anderson Silva, Roy Jones Jr., Israel. They do everything technically wrong. Their chin is up. Their hands are down. But they're so in the matrix. They're so good. They're so fast. Their muscles are such, they're so aligned. But all of a sudden they get a little older. And yep. They lose that little step, and then it just becomes bad technique. Jason, do you agree?
Yeah, but that's exactly what I was getting at. Is like that they're always been cheating their whole time. Their fundamentals are, you know, based upon the fact that they're very fast and very, you know, spry, and their movement is really good. And then one day that shit just ain't true anymore. And that's kind of what happened. He, you know, the whole fight, he was just picking him apart. And then he chipped away at his health bar to the point where his footwork got sloppy and he slipped. And then he pointed at the ground and said, "Oh, I slipped." And then later he got chased down again, slipped again, and then got choked out. Yeah, that was rough. I have to admit I was wrong. I figured Izzy would be dancing and dancing. And then I saw on the tail of the tape that he was 35, and I gave pause. I was like, "Oh, man, wait a minute. He's older than I thought. I thought he was like 32. And so that age plays a factor. It definitely does. And that's what it looked like to me right there. I can't believe Drinkus just did that, man. Like, just kept going because he looked like he was on the road to Sleepy Town. He was getting peppered with, you know, hard shots, but nothing.
Now, Jason, you had unusual technique. Did that happen to you at all?
Yeah, hell yeah. You know, and then injuries and whatnot, it made it so I couldn't do my old tricks, you know? And it definitely starts wearing you out if you, you know, if you have to reinvent yourself every fight with injuries and whatnot. Yeah, it happens. There's no way around it.
Don, what do you think of the fight?
I thought it was a good fight, you know? Shit, the South African dominated the whole thing, you know? I thought he owned that. Izzy, you know, the whole time.
Is that what you thought was going to happen?
Yeah. I thought that was going to happen. Unfortunately, I don't want to see it because, you know, I want the other guy to fight him.
Strickland.
God dang, I'm drawing. Strickland, yeah, Sean, yeah. I'm drawing a blank, man.
Sean, what do you think?
These are shrooms.
I really thought that I thought it would go one of two ways. I thought Adesanya would come out like a monster and really like dominate, and it looked like he was going to. But I thought, man, he broke mentally. Like Jason was saying, he looked great, and then till he didn't, you know. And it seemed like he broke mentally and quit to me. And I hate to call guys a quitter. I don't know if he was tired. I don't know what it was. Like Jason said, maybe it's just the age, man. But when that choke, he didn't try to fight it. It was like he was done. When he tripped and fell down, he was just waiting to get choked out pretty much to me. You know, like it was like he just looked like he was over. He couldn't finish him. He probably hit him with some good shots, couldn't finish him, and was like, "Okay, I don't want to be in here anymore." You know, like
he said when he slipped, he didn't know if he got hit or he slipped. So he was confused as to why am I on the ground? And that just
I think that one shot, you know, the shot that hit him kind of toward the top of the head that bent his neck sideways a little bit.
Yeah,
I think it was a big left. I think that shook him more than it looked like on TV. You know what I mean? It seemed like after that, he couldn't quite keep his balance. And sometimes it's the ones that don't look like when Lesnar hit Couture with that same shot. It didn't look that hard, but it just a weird angle, man. And his neck kind of contorted strange. And then, you know, Randy went down. But it's I gave all my friends betting advice. And, dude, I said that what's his name? The guy that looks like a fake Mark Hunt. He was plus 200. And I said that he was at those kind of odds, I thought it was worth betting on him at 2-1 because he has that one punch knockout power, you know, like earlier on in the night. Yeah. And I thought Adesanya with the odds being even, and I thought Duplessis lost to Sean Strickland when they fought. So I thought, man, if, you know, Stylebender looks better than he did against Strickland, he'll probably win. But I think Jason hit it, man, when he said, like, you get old overnight in the fight game, man, like it can happen to, I mean, happen to anybody, but you're 34 one day, you're fine, and then you're 35 and you're not anymore. Like, it's just like you're an old man overnight. So.
Plus, he had, like, how many, like, 60 kickboxing fights, too, or something. So, like,
right.
Bill, what do you think?
Well, I wanted to ask you guys, as professional fighters, what is the age where you lose speed? Is there, like, heavyweights have a longer longevity than, like, lightweights? Because...
Well, Jason,
yeah. Speed Jason doesn't matter as much.
Well, Mayhem's been misplacing his speed for years. He just he doesn't know if he has it.
different for every athlete, depending on how much damage you've done to your body. That's just how it is. Especially fighters, you know, because I've come out of fights, you know, where it was a tough fight, but I, you know, didn't get injured at all for some reason and everything was fine. And I come out of fights that look like nothing, that look like it was no big deal, with injured everything. And so it's a weird thing where you can put a lot of miles in your body really quick. Yeah, and it's dependent upon that. Rampage said there's a big difference between, like, he was saying, what, 35 and – or no, yeah, 33 and 34. I think that's what he said. It was like a big change.
So, all right. And do you want to talk about any of the other fights or no?
I mean, there were good fights, right? What are those guys' name? What was that guy's name, Adam? The Australian.
It was the Dan Hooker.
Oh, Dan Hooker fight. That was pretty badass. Like, it's weird because.
That was a good fight.
That was a brawl, wasn't it? What do you think about that, Don?
I was surprised, man, you know, but I think it's funny, you know, they bring somebody in there to lose, and then all of a sudden he wins. It's just a shocker. It's a shocker to everybody. It's even a shocker to Dan, you know, that he won, and he was getting ready to retire, you know, and then all of a sudden he's winning, and now he's gonna have to get off the retirement couch and start training harder.
Yeah.
You got a second win, second contract. I mean, second career, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah.
I also, Casey Kenney, after she won, she did the dance that breakdancer did. I don't know if you guys
saw that. The Ray Gun?
Yeah, Ray Gun. She did her kangaroo and all the other stuff. Now, by the way, so in some MMA news, by the way, Marab, who's supposed to fight, Marab is supposed to fight Sean O'Malley. He hurt his eye, posted the picture of him hurting his eye, and then said, it's okay, blah, blah, blah. And then Dana White fucking says, what a fucking idiot. These guys are such, you know, why would you do that? Now the guy's going to target the eye. Yeah, I'm not really sure why he did that. You know, posted a picture of him in the hospital and then saying, I'm okay to fight, though. I mean, maybe it'd be funny if he had the wrong eye. Jason, did you ever post pictures of you being injured before a fight?
No. You want to keep something like that secret. And it was funny that I saw Dana all fired up and pissed off about it. But at the end of the day, like, what does it matter? You know, the guy was not going to not fight. And more than likely, you know, one of his corner, dude, listen, when my guys fight, I'm looking at their opponent, like, at everything. I'm, like, staring at this guy, looking at how he walks, looking at any kind of weakness. Like, that's just the business. You know, you're going to pay attention. His corner was going to know, like, Tim Welsh is going to pay attention to what is going on with his opponent. But yeah, the guy was cut wide open, and I'm sure he couldn't hit it anyway. And it's funny to make Dana angry about it. What?
Isn't there some psychological warfare if the injury isn't as bad as the opponent believes? So you're kind of like playing possum a little bit, like, oh, I'm so injured, and then you're really not that injured.
Yeah.
So
I think too, yeah, it can possibly be. I think in some cases, guys too want to build an excuse in case they lose. They want to start it up, like, oh, you know, I'm hurt, so in case I don't win. But it could be, I don't doubt at all, someone as smart as Conor McGregor could, just to throw you off, have you wondering whether you're getting that $5 million to fight him or not, to throw your, you know, your life, because it is life changing money when you fight somebody like that. But you never know. A guy like that may.
What's up, people? Listen. Major League Baseball is right now, and I've had some of my best memories. Me and my dad going to games. I actually caught a couple balls a couple times. I had a blast. I take my daughter to the game, my wife. We have a great time. And check it out. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which means getting tickets, you can get them faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch. It goes down, not up. Now, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, okay, which is great. That way you don't get there and all of a sudden you can't see anything. And their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. So you gotta check out this Game Time app. It is so easy, okay, to navigate, download. I go to all my sporting events. I went to a Sparks game, the one that I took Mayhem and them to. All right, we had a great time. It was like $14 each. It was cheaper than movie tickets. All right, so you got to check it out. They got last minute deals. You could save up to 60% buying off last minutes for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. You get flash deals. All right, which means that you could save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game or the event. They have all-in pricing and they have ticket coverage. Your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry, and they have lowest price guarantee, which means if it's not the lowest price, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with Game Time. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off first purchase. That's right. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code CLNS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets. Lowest price guarantee. Trust me, you will thank me later.
He isn't like they said, he's not smart, not smart enough to be thinking that far ahead. But not that I know he's not smart, but
Right. No, that's a good point. So all last week, the Kai Kara France looked great. He knocked out Steve Urseg, who looked like the guys from Blues Clues.
He looked like Michael Scott. Come on.
He looked like the guy from The Office. And Kai Kara Francis went in there and just wrecked him. Dan Hooker, right? Like, that was a good fight. I didn't see the Rosenstruck versus Ty Tavosa fight because I was on stage. People said that one judge gave her to Ty Tavosa, but they couldn't believe that happened. Is that Jason?
I don't know how you could, on earth, you could, like, I don't know. It must have been his cousin. You know how all those Samoan guys like have a cousin? Where it must have been his cousin, because this guy was like just coming forward. He went forward a lot, but he just got peppered with shots the whole time. And Rosenstrike was just having a kickboxing clinic on the guy, not no big knockout or anything, but like no knockdowns really, but just a technical display of I'm better at kickboxing than you.
I don't understand why he doesn't even attempt a single or not even a feint of a single or double just to throw him off a little bit. It's just, he's walking straight forward, throwing a big right hand, walking straight forward, jumping in left hook, walking straight forward, big right hand. It's like, dude, see that coming from a mile away,
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't think he has the skill to do a tackle, I don't think he want to take a chance. And on top of that, Rosenstrike is like kind of dynamic, for a big guy where he like throws crazy knees and whatnot. It's easy for us to sit on a damn couch and be like, oh, he should have done this. But, when this freaking like monster is throwing crazy knees at your face, it's kind of tough to shoot a fake double leg.
Why are Samoans so big? Have you ever seen a skinny Samoan?
Oh, because. You know what it is? It's island. It's an island, right? Small animals on an island get bigger, and big animals get smaller. So everything gets on a big level. And think about it this way. For millions of years, those Samoans were like, or not millions, but hundreds of thousands of years, Samoan people were hanging out there, right? Where there's very little calories in a small island, right? And then suddenly you bring like the technology of food, and everybody has a ton of calories. So your body, from being super efficient, like where you need to use every calorie, to now you have like American food and you just become human.
Dude, I have a friend who was a wrestler from Minnesota. He went to ASU. He was like the number one kid in high school. And he was a good wrestler, solid wrestler, one of the best in the country. But then in college, he got into like Bitcoin, and he was doing these things where he was like having college girls pose naked out of their dorm rooms and making money doing that. He was driving the coach crazy. I think he got kicked off the team, right? He found out that he was 164th America Samoan, and he started his own America Samoan wrestling team and tried to make the Olympics because they don't have a wrestling team.
He got
uniforms and everything, and they showed up, and a couple of them won matches, but then they didn't qualify. I think they like made it in the rules. You can't just start a team from a country. You got to meet this guy. Fuck it, the guy is always doing something. He told me about Bitcoin like 30 years ago. He started the American Samoan wrestling team.
Crazy.
Did anybody watch the weekend of jiu-jitsu? This is pretty crazy. No one watched it?
Yeah, I watched some of it.
Wow. I was there. I was there. It's pretty impressive.
Which one?
It's impressive, man. You got some real good athletes. There's a lot of wrestling. You know, it wasn't like that Gracie jump up and grab and pulling down bullshit. I mean, they were actually wrestling to get down there, you know?
Yeah, Pat Downey won. He said he got screwed the second one. I didn't see a second match. Bill, what happened?
I don't know if I remember that. I do know that every MMA fighter lost. Luke Rockhold lost, Mackenzie Dern lost, Cyborg lost. But a lot of MMA fighters competed.
Who did Cyborg lose to?
I don't know, some fucking Brazilian. But I love that. Do you guys like the alley format with the angled walls? I think that's awesome. It's a new thing. Have you seen that, Adam?
No, the only thing I can't get behind, it's hard for me to, is like, I'll watch a match and I don't understand the rule set. Or why one person won and one person didn't. That's the only thing that I just can't.
That's still happening, by the way. People still don't know why Gordon Ryan beat Felipe Pena. It's a big debate.
Mayhem, help me with this.
I don't know. I thought it was the old school jiu-jitsu rules where it's like you get 4 points for the back, 2 points for the side mount, 2 points for a takedown. Am I wrong about this, Bill? I don't know.
Yeah, but you guys as wrestlers will know this, but when Felipe and Gordon were wrestling up top, Felipe took him down, they scrambled, and Gordon got in top position, so he won the match, which seems crazy. That seems like a little bit of a home court advantage, American versus Brazilian right there.
So it's you get 3 points for an escape? Is that what I'm reading?
I mean, Felipe took him down, Gordon did a Granby roll, and then got on top.
Yeah, so maybe
he would have lost in a wrestling match. You would have got 3 points for a takedown and 2 for a reversal. So the guy who got a takedown would have won.
Correct.
But
what was this called? I didn't even hear about it. Is this some kind of jiu-jitsu tournament or something?
So yeah, Craig Jones did this thing where he's arguably one of the best in the world, and he went up against Gabby Garcia in the main event, and then during the face-off, he kissed her. And she ran away angry, but I guess that was staged.
Of course.
So he shows up to the match and starts drinking alcohol and then pulls off his pants and he's wearing a Speedo. And then he ends up tapping her in the second round. I guess the first round was kind of close. And they had a bunch of UFC guys. Luke Rockhold went up against that guy, Pat Downey, who was like the bad boy of wrestling, kind of, who ended up losing in Bellator. But he's.
I didn't see this. I went to the ADCC, not this one.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, and then while Luke was against the fence, he gave Mighty Mouse a dab during his match, and then they both started off butt scooting like they butt scooted into the thing together. It was kind of like it was, and then Mackenzie Dern got like tapped in like 30 seconds by this girl. That girl's a monster. I don't know. I don't know. To be honest, it doesn't have the same feel of like an NCAA wrestling finals or something yet.
I agree.
But it's better than I don't even like the slapping ones, because I feel like slap jiu-jitsu, if you're going to punch, make it punching. You know, like I hate that. Jason, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a strange thing. Yeah, to do slap jiu-jitsu, because I get what they're trying to get at, where it's like, oh, make it sort of realistic, but you know, more of a fight, but at the same time, it just turned into a strange slap match. Like back when Glover and who was it? The California kid that did that slap jiu-jitsu match where Glover was doing
Faber? Faber?
Yeah, Faber did the, once Faber like settled down on like the top position and realized, oh, I could just palm strike this guy to death. The ugliest beatdown, you know. It was not a very, I don't know. It's not like MMA is different where you're really punching the guy. There's like, it's different, but just slapping the guy, oh man, it just looks really, I don't know. It looks kind of ugly. I don't know. If people like it, then it will keep going. But to me, it's not my favorite taste, you know. Ugh.
Don't get me wrong. So I love jiu-jitsu, and I love the fact that people are making money at it, $1 million, because it's, I feel like sometimes people feel like they're wasting their time with jiu-jitsu because they don't see any type of, where am I going to go with this? You know, so I think that's cool. And it seems like they're, more girls are getting into it, and it's fun, and it's a cool little culture, a big culture. But there's got to be something with the points, because it just watching yeah. something for 10 minutes and not knowing why somebody won, it's just like.
Well, I mean, that's up to you there, Adam. You need to educate yourself as a fan, I think, because understand the rules, you know.
Yeah, but Pat Downey writes, Pat Downey on Instagram goes, I lost. I guess I lost. I don't know why. People are saying I won. So if the guy who lost doesn't know why he, I mean, if he doesn't know why he lost, how the fuck am I going to know?
What do you mean? Like, he lost. Is that, maybe if he knew the rules better, he wouldn't have lost.
Yeah, I also didn't watch enough where I could really give a well-versed, thought-out thing to be something totally honest.
I saw the highlights, so I, you know, it was weird. I was busy this weekend, and it was kind of strange that they. I don't know. I'm very happy about jiu-jitsu becoming like a mainstream thing where everybody's kind of getting into it. A million people watch that thing. It's cool.
Now, what did you guys think of Oscar De La Hoya's Coke video? Did you guys watch that?
Oh, no. Did I? I mean, look.
I thought I assumed every video with Oscar De La Hoya and it was a Coke video. Was there a new one? Like every, like you see Oscar De La Hoya on cocaine? Like which time?
All right, hold on. Let me find this. So
was he in drag?
No, he wasn't in drag. No.
Again?
No, he wasn't in drag. Let me see if I can find it. So yeah, De La Hoya has a new girlfriend. All right, he's married, and to be honest, like. She's had too much work done. Like if I'm keeping it real, like she's a pretty girl, but like everything is fake on her, including her ass, you know? And,
that's the worst.
It's as fake as Oscar De La Hoya's attraction to women. So it works out.
Oh, come on.
I'm like, yeah. I've never really been.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why girls are doing this Brazilian butt lift. Some guys too. I don't see it. I don't see it. Like, because you see the person's not really that in great shape, and then their ass is just, it's like almost like a, like a car with like a really, like expensive hood, but the car's all, it's weird. So anyway, so I'll show you guys. Here's the.
You video. Mean like a 1987 Cadillac that's $1,500 and $8,000 rims on it?
Kind of, exactly. Yeah. So here's De La Hoya.
All which day. One's De La Hoya?
Oh, that ass is ugly.
Yeah, work out.
Is this is actually real or a deep fake?
Yeah, no, this is real.
Johnny, la gente está muy loca.
Yeah, I mean, that's very strange. Thank you for making me watch that. Yeah. Like that. You remember the cartoon characters, like when they're black and white, and it was like racist caricatures? That's what that looked like.
Yeah.
Don still reads those.
That was the greatest analogy of all time, I think.
what do you think about that, man? You think De La Hoya was on coke or drugs? Like,
I mean, whatever, bro. You know, as somebody who, like, fucked his life up with drugs a lot of times, I will say, like, hey bud, if you're not getting busted, who's gonna complain? Like, this guy is like on a yacht dancing with a girl who has more plastic surgery than 10 transsexuals, so good for him, you know what I mean?
Like, but she posted it, that's the problem.
I know. What do you mean? I know, she's proud. What are you talking about? Yeah, she had her plastic surgery costs more than your house, bro. Like,
that's true.
I'm saying, so I'm just telling you, he's proud of what she's doing.
Also, there was a fight at a Padres game, and this is where I think watching too much MMA and boxing, bad technique videos, or really good fighters goes bad for you. So I'll show you this fight that happened at this Padres game. It started off, the guy was doing okay. All right, so can you guys see
him? I seen it. He looked like Roy Jones Jr. at the beginning.
Yeah.
He's like, swinging a miss. He's rope-a-doping right now. But look, here's his problem, is that he never put any offense out there. So right now he had three chances to counterpunch. He He slips, slips, slip. And finally, old white boy figures it out and just starts throwing bungalows and connects with a good one. Luckily, his girlfriend comes and saves the day. Watch. Oh, man. See, he just starts, oh, man, just laying into him. Now this guy's ruined his Sunday.
It's funny because he was dressed to beat up his girlfriend, and he ended up in a fight with a man. That's what's odd. So.
But the defense was good at first. At first, he was actually, I mean, like, I was pretty impressed by his defense.
Looked like he boxed before. Yeah, it looks like he knew what he was doing at first until he didn't.
He only worked on defense?
I guess. Maybe he's the little brother and always has to dodge like that and forgot that you can actually punch back. Fuck.
But he didn't get hurt, though, right? It didn't look like he got hurt.
Yeah, he got a bloody nose.
Yeah, I mean, he got that, and it went viral. It didn't help. Now, Don, did you ever work defense? I feel like your defense is all offense.
No, I never worked defense, no. I worked it in a training room, yeah, but then, no, I didn't. never did.
Like, did your coaches ever tell you to move your head?
No. I'm sure they did, but, you know, I didn't listen to them, but.
Move your head into the punch.
His knuckles are going to get sore before long. We just keep this up. His knuckles will pay for it. But I did have one time. I boxed a pro boxer, a decent pro boxer before, and I had a broken nose. So the coach who was his coach said, "Hey, you can't hit him in the face because he's got a broken nose right now. He doesn't want to wear the headgear." It's like an MMA fight coming up. So you just can't hit him in the face. And I beat the shit out of that dude. Like when he couldn't hit me to the face and I could do whatever I wanted, I beat the shit out of a pro boxer. It was because he couldn't do anything. Like he couldn't, what's he going to do? Hit me with body shots and just keep taking, you know what I mean? Uppercuts. Like he after a few minutes, he was like, dude, I don't want to do this. Like to his other guy, I can't punch you. He couldn't touch my face, but he had to just sit there and just take a beating. Otherwise, I felt like a superstar that day, man.
But Don, I mean, when you're fighting against Takayama, Was that the plan? Grab the back of his head and punch?
No. If you watch, he hit me with one of the first couple of punches and knocked my feet. My feet swept out from underneath of me. And so then I had to grab hold of him to keep him going to the ground. So that's what happened. He knocked my feet out from underneath of me.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize. I thought maybe your goal was to just grab him and then just hit him like that. It was because you were falling down.
Yeah, I was hanging on for dear life.
Did you know that, Mayhem? Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. No, I remember that. Yeah, that like the guy was so big that Don like was getting kind of shoved around. It looked like a schoolyard fight. And Don I remember that. He like hung on his head, and that's how it. Now that hearing confirmation that that's what happened, because I figured that guy was so massive that he was fighting that it was like a weird situation that I bet Don never doesn't have to really deal with before. And then suddenly it just turned into a bar brawl.
The nice part about that is that guy's head was so big, it didn't matter what Don was aiming for. He was still landing him right on the chin. Like he was throwing body shots, still hit him in the face.
Sean, yeah. Did they offer you Brock Lesnar? Sean?
No, they never. Brock would have beat me up, most likely, I would think. But I would have liked to fight Brock Lesnar, one, because you're not going to fight a worse opponent with a bigger name. Like, I always try to fight Wes Sims or somebody like that. You know what I mean? Like, the worst guy I could fight with the biggest name. But I always set on Brock, man. And Cain Velasquez proved it. Shane Carwin proved it. A lot of guys proved it. Brock is awesome when he's the hammer and you're the nail. But as soon as there's any resistance, man, he folds quick. Like, when a guy starts putting it back on him, he doesn't like Pat Barry. I guess since Pat Barry never called me back, and he should have years ago when I needed something, I'll say this, but Pat Barry was getting paid $2,000 a week to go spar with Brock, and they said, listen, you can only hit him at 25-30%, and Pat's like, dude, I can't keep him off me at 20%, you know, like I gotta be able to do something back. Like, well, Brock doesn't like getting hit, and he said, well, obviously he doesn't like getting hit, like watch his fights. But Pat Barry did it for a couple days. He goes, dude, I'm not getting a brain damage or concussion here every day because he can swing 100%, and I got to take it easy because Brock, and you see what you see in his fights, he's never been hit before, because when he gets hit, If you've never been hit before and you don't have eye discipline, you start turning away. Everybody, if you're not used to getting hit, it's just natural to turn away, to kind of, you know, flinch back. You have to get used to the point where you see a punch coming and you know you're going to eat it, and you're staying on target and staying in the pocket. You know,
yeah, that's insightful, bro. Yeah, I was wondering why Brock Lesnar looked like he'd never been hit before, and it's because he'd never been hit before.
Yeah, that's the truth. You weren't allowed to hit Brock in training.
Well, what happened? I don't know if you know, Jason, but Brock went to go train with Don Fry and Mark Kerr, and then Mark Kerr cockblocked Fry from showing him what to do.
What?
Yeah, he grabbed that tattoo on Brock's chest and blocked it.
Don, isn't that kind of what happened?
Yeah. Brock flew into Phoenix to meet to see a strength conditioning coach, and that guy called what's his name?
Kerr.
Yeah, Mark Kerr, and so Kerr came down with Lesnar, and just a fucking idiot. He was a fucking idiot. You know, we try and show Brock something, and Kerr would get in the way, interfere, and say, no, that's not. He didn't know what the fuck he was talking about.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
It was kind of like Mayhem was saying earlier. Like, I remember in college basketball, sometimes you're playing against a guy who's a future NBA player, and they're like, angles, like your coach is saying, angles matter, athleticism doesn't matter. I'm like, well, why is the most athletic guy usually the best then, if it doesn't matter? But Kerr's probably telling Lesnar, you don't need to learn defense, you're going to be too big, too strong, or whatever. But which works until you're not too big and too strong for somebody, then you got to have the technique. Yeah, so you know what I mean?
They both show up in the same weight, right?
Yeah.
So, same thing with jiu-jitsu. The best people are the people on steroids, period.
Right. Yeah. So this steroids are for people who like winning and money, I always say.
So this week, PFL, which, of course, they're not going to tell anybody about it because they have, like, the secret fight club. they don't believe in telling anyone about their events.
Do not talk about PFL.
That's the first rule.
Brendan Lochnane gets Kai Kamaka. I know Kai, you guys don't know him, but he's a really good guy, Hawaiian, strong wrestler. You know, sometimes Hawaiians have underrated wrestling. You know, you never think of Hawaii as like a hotbed for wrestling. But I think because those guys have been wrestling since they were like three. Hawaiian people are just a different breed. They're bar fighting at like 7 years old. I mean, Jason, will you back me up on this?
Yeah. Everybody has a tough guy culture that everybody fights. You know what I mean? It's like the rednecks of the like they really like they're just like
don't turn your fucking back on them, that's for sure.
All right.
As he leaves, he just turned his back on us. He says, he literally turned his back on us.
I can turn it back on you guys.
Also, Neiman Gracie. Which Gracie is that?
I don't know. I've trained with him before. He teaches at Henzo's on 30th Street in Manhattan. I mean, he's been trying to do this for a minute, and I don't know, man. I don't think he's going to be much of a contender.
Well, he's fighting for if he wins, he makes the finals. It gets $1 million. So he's fighting a guy, Magomed Umalatov, who's undefeated, 16-0.
You always go with the Magomeds in the world.
He's a wrestler. Waka waka.
And then Ray Cooper III. Did you fight his dad, Jason? Or
I know. Why is that name so familiar?
Jake
Shields. Did he sing the Ghostbusters theme?
That's Ray Parker. Jake Shields fought him and his dad. Not at the same time.
I'll tell you, Ray Cooper III is no Ray Cooper I or II.
That's true.
No, Ray Cooper actually fucking hit. This guy hits hard. He's actually a really good fighter. But he just hasn't. I think he won $1 million one of the years, but then whatever. So that's.
Did we ever figure out whose money PFL is burning? Does anyone know? Like, would they like to give me some of it? Like,
same
Saudi Arabia.
Same place the Democrats get their money.
Taxpayers.
I like how now we just have the disembodied voice. Like Clint Eastwood's talking to it.
Dude, even after the show's over, I'm still going to hear Don's voice somehow.
We all do.
It's like Don is now narrating this podcast.
Your wife does.
Yeah, absolutely. UFC, Jared Cannonier. He's fighting Kyle Barralho. Angela Hill, who I love to death. She's fighting Tabitha Ritchie. Neil Mack.
You get little tingles for Angela Hill?
I like her as a person.
I get
tingles for you. Wang Kong is on. It says he's 0-1. There's no way they're having Wang Kong as an 0-1 MMA junkie.
Not in PFL.
No, this is UFC. Look, there's a dog now. Don's dog is on this right now.
Nice.
And his dog looks like him.
I got two. She's abused. So she's. I'm just getting. I only had her for a few months, and poor girl, she still hides in a bedroom.
Damn. Sorry to hear that.
She abused really bad.
All right.
She's a good dog. She just petted her too much.
Shows they.
By the way, so and before we leave, there's a guy on TikTok who does these fake movies. This guy might be the funniest human being I've ever seen in my life. Maybe I just oversold him, but I find this really funny. Like, he makes me cry laughing, this fucking guy. Maybe something's wrong with me. My wife looked at me like, why are you laughing at this? You ever have that where you're like, you're laughing at something and your girlfriend or your wife is like, well, how is this funny?
All the time.
No, because I own my own house, so I don't want to make myself.
So Jason, this guy right here, he goes by Mr. Movie on like TikTok, right? So
here are two new shows that you are going to binge. First up is a show on Amazon Prime called The Lion Tamer. It's about a high-profile bank robber who ends up with a baby lion cub as part of a trade deal. At first, he doesn't really want this thing, but he doesn't know what to do with it. Of course, he falls in love with it, and it ends up becoming his buddy. He then gets the idea to start using the lion as muscle during his bank heists. This works out great at first because he doesn't have to use as much ammunition. He has to pay less people. The lion can't fold under questioning. This show is wild. It's really good. Next up is Apple TV's The Teacher. It's about a serial killer who gets released due to a horribly botched mistrial. After he gets out, he changes his identity, lies about his credentials, and gets a job as an elementary school teacher. The situations he finds himself in to keep his secret safe are hilarious. This show is one of, if not the funniest show of the.
So he makes up all these movies and documentaries. None of them are real.
Oh, that's great.
Like,
I want to watch those.
Like, I think this guy's brilliant. Hold on, I can see if I can find those were not the best ones. Jason, you don't. Okay, hold on, let me see.
I love that they're all made up. That's genius.
I'm with your wife. It's like, nah. Okay, I get it.
People have been asking me about this new horror movie on Apple TV called Love You, Daddy. It's the true story about these two twin sister kindergartners who went on a killing spree in 2018. They grew up with this abusive father. Every woman that he starts dating mysteriously dies. Most of the time poisoned, but sometimes much worse. Of course, their father ends up getting arrested until one lunch lady turned detective deep dives into this case. A lot of people...
I love that.
Hold on. I'll see if I can find one more. Hold on. Let's see. All right.
You are not going to want to miss movies on Netflix. First up, Please Stop Calling Me. It's about a guy who's sort of like a medium. At first, he starts to get phone calls from his own dead relatives, but soon, like, every dead person is calling them to try to get in touch with their family. This one's so good. Next up, Magic Mr. Ouija. It's about a failed magician who's getting shit on even by, like, little kids at parties. So he attempts to make his act better by trying all this dangerous shit that he really shouldn't be doing. This movie's hilarious. Check it out.
What the fuck, bro? Hey, I'm into it.
Wait, what do you mean?
Not many? Oh my god, bro. Dude. He makes up, he just trolls Netflix all day long.
All day long. Like
some of those are real movies.
What? Like
some of those are real movies, obviously.
No, none of these are real movies.
The Sandlot Duel.
Oh, no, but then people are like, the whole time people are like, I've been trying to buy this movie for 3 hours. What?
Yeah.
All right, let me feel like if I can find a couple more. Like some of these are, I don't know, dude. I got into like a deep dive and then I just started fucking like, I started crying. Like I was actually crying. Hold on.
The funniest movie of the year just came out on Netflix and it's perfect for date night. It's called Dumped. Two dickhead best friends have a competition to see who can get dumped the most times in 1 year. They can do whatever they want except for break up with the girl. This was a...
All right, hold on. Let me see if I can find one more, and then Jason's probably mad at me.
I think he has a million followers. If he's doing that with like 300 followers, it's ridiculous.
I think Mayhem left. Mayhem just got fucking left. Don's playing with his dog, and Mayhem left. All right,
I'm the only one. I love it, man. I wish that this was my idea.
Why
did Mayhem leave?
Why did Mayhem leave?
I don't know. I think he got mad at. Who knows? John, so there's a guy on Netflix. All he does is make up movies. All he does is like make up movies that like aren't real. And I don't know. I think it's hilarious.
And then reviews them.
And then reviews them. And then people spend all day trying to find these movies.
Don't be giving me any ideas because this sounds very entertaining.
Perfect for date night. First up, we got this movie called Spoon. Spoon is one hilarious movie about this guy who gets addicted to cereal so much so that he needs surgery. His doctor's name is Ironically. Next movie's called The Girl in My Living Room. Holy shit, this is easily one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. You won't be the same person after you watch this. These movies on Netflix are a 10 out of 10.
Hold on. Look.
The girl in my living room.
He's wasting people's time, isn't he?
Weird animal likes documentary.
Wasting everyone's time.
This Netflix documentary is called Cat. It's about a cat whose owner unfortunately passes away, and the cat is left in a New York City apartment alone for 10 years. The things this cat does to survive will blow your mind. If you're an animal who likes
documentary. I love it.
Hold on. You guys
want to
watch more?
He's got some terrible premises, I'll tell you that.
For date night and cuddling with your boo. First up, we have a movie called Scalpel. It's about a doctor who sews animal parts onto his patients. It will get you there. Next up, we got a movie called Pants Filled. It's about a psychopath who attaches non-removable underwear to his and literally scares the shit out of him. These horror movies on Netflix will have a terrifying.
Oh, God.
Hold on, a couple more.
I love this, man.
On Netflix are a 10 out of 10, perfect for the whole family. First is a movie called Tony's Diner. Tony's Diner is one hilarious movie about a disgraced fast food worker who has dreams of opening up his own diner that serves his famous cream chip beef with a twist. Next up is the award-winning Netflix docudrama, Come With Us. It's about a childless couple who embarks on a road trip, adopting non-potty-trained orphans along the way and acclimating them to normal life. These feel-good movies on Netflix are...
You gotta wonder what's wrong right now. Like, what is wrong with someone like doing that, dude? Like,
hold on.
Not sure what to watch on Netflix. Got you covered. First up is this really crazy documentary called It's about a baby who was born in Peru and at 6 months old starts speaking fluent Italian and nobody really understands. Next up is the award winning Netflix documentary Pizza. This one's really cool. They go to hundreds of cities trying all sorts of different kinds of slices of pizza and rent. Not sure what to watch on Netflix. Got you covered. First up is this really.
Oh, God. That's great, man.
What are they going to do when someone makes a movie like that and he claims they stole his idea? Like, he goes back, like, they actually, like, that sounds like a good idea for a movie. And he's like,
hold on. I can't copyright a premise.
You are not going to want to miss these movies on Netflix. First up, Malarkey. Malarkey is one hilarious movie about a homeless guy that finds a winning lottery ticket. He tries to travel the world with the winnings, but he's just really not that intelligent and has no idea what he's doing. This one had me on my ass left. Next up, Snapshot. It's about a guy who takes way too many pictures on his cell phone and all his friends rag on him for it. But then he realizes a lot of pictures he took on a vacation are evidence to a cold murder case. This one's really cool. Check it out. You are not going to...
I love how he doesn't try too hard to sell it either. He's just like, hey, if you want to check it out, do it. If not, yeah, he just goes the next one, you know? Like
every time he posts, people are like, I spent all fucking day trying to find this movie. Hold on.
This horror movie on Netflix will have you fucked up. It's called Save Yourself. When I say this is a scary movie, that's a severe understatement. Most of you won't make it through this movie in one sitting. This horror movie on
one sitting?
There's no movie. Hold on, one more.
But then he does Sandlot.
This brand new horror movie on Netflix will have you fucked up. It's called Brushed. To say this is a scary movie is a severe understatement. Most of you will not make it through this movie in one sitting. This brand new horror...
I like how his fear ratings are how many times you have to stop the movie and go back to it. Like, I've had too much fear for today. I gotta go, I'll rewatch the rest of it tomorrow.
There's this crazy new documentary on Netflix. It's called Something's Wrong with Bobby, and it's mind-blowing. It's about the youngest person ever charged as an adult in a homicide case. Bobby Richmond was only 5 years old when he was accused of killing both his parents and his sister. How he did it and what he did with the bodies after, you won't believe. There's this crazy...
Dude, you could sell some of those movies. Like, you really could. Like, some of those, I'd be like, I would check that out to see what that's like. You need to hire that guy to review your special.
Ideas,
Like
just an idea guy.
Oh, I mean, it's just, I don't know what, he has all this time to do this, to just tell people about these movies.
This documentary that I'm about to show you, I've only seen it once
in one sitting.
I think I can watch it again. Disturbing documentaries are a lot scarier than horror movies, in my opinion, because it's real life. If you don't have a strong stomach, avoid this one. It takes place in Iowa. It was filmed in 2017, and it's called She. This documentary.
It was very important. You know, it was filmed in Iowa. It's integral.
I mean, this is like I seriously had like, I was crying laughing.
My God. Please send who this is. Is he on Instagram too?
I don't know if he's on Instagram, but I was like crying, and my wife was like, what do you think this is? Like,
why are you guys a real movie?
What?
Did you guys ever hear of that book called Letters from a Nut?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The guy that just, he would write letters to corporations. And it would be like, he had an idea for the people to make Starburst. Take a Starburst and put a Skittle in the middle of it. And he would try to sell me the idea. And they would like, we appreciate your creativity, this and that. And he would just keep trolling them. This is before the internet. Just over and over again, like trying to write them letters corresponding back and forth to sell his ideas. And they would just keep entertaining it. Like, we really do, like, thank you for your loyalty. And he would always slide in any job openings. Like, he would always throw that in every letter, you know, like it was, but it was, yeah, like trolling before there was an internet. Like,
there was a comic, this guy, I don't know his name, but he's kind of a genius in a lot of ways, but he would tell girls, like he made a fake profile of like him and like the hottest girl, like you've seen, right? Like just smoking hot girl and him on Facebook. And then when he would go to this town, like in Ohio, he would look up hot girls in that town, and he would DM the girl from his pretend girlfriend, and be like, hey, my boyfriend is going to your town to do comedy. We have a rule that like just you could blow him, but just don't fuck him. I could tell you're his type. And then he would then DM the girl. And be like, and then he said like 9 out of 10 times a girl would fuck him and be like, hey, don't tell Aaron about this. Meanwhile, like there was no Aaron. Like he made up the whole thing. Then he would do a thing where like, you know how like you get those emails saying you won $5 million and whatever from Africa, you're a prince, whatever. He'd be like, he'd be like, I have a check. I'll send it to you, but I need a picture of you holding your friend's dick, or like you and like 10 guys butt naked, like jumping around. And then he made a whole website of those pictures. like, dude's a fucking psychopath, but crazy.
Sound like Sean. It sounds like something Sean would do.
That's how he tells Adam this in confidence, and he puts it out on the podcast. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Oh, Mayhem got a ticket. Fuck.
For talking while driving or something.
Yeah, that's fucking sorry. Yeah, no, he got a ticket, like a street cleaning ticket.
Wow.
Oh, a man. What?
Street walking ticket.
No, a street cleaning. I guess his car like parked on like a side where you need cleaning, whatever.
It's $40.
In the world. So I know at one time a cop was giving me a $15 parking ticket, and he was like, "Dude, it's only $15." I said, "If it's only $15, you pay it." Since it's only $15, you know what I mean? Like, that's all it is. Like, so that's not that much money. You go ahead and pay it. So
I once drove away while someone was writing the ticket, thinking that they wouldn't get me. And of course, it didn't matter. They had my life. So what do you have coming up, Sean?
Just same old stuff, man. I'm in investing in that new business I'm doing. So it's the stories I could tell you. But yeah, it's doing things I shouldn't be doing, like climbing on ladders and manual labor and things that a man with a bad back has no business doing. So.
Mm. What business you got?
What?
What business did you open?
I thought you said, what kind of windows do you have? I was like, do you need some work done on your house, Don? No. Long story really quick. I had a guy that's, really, really quick. A guy that is a contractor that doesn't speak great English, and he needed somebody honest to go in business with him to sell jobs and basically go partners with him and be like, set up a website for him, handle accounting, things that I've all done before in my other businesses. So it's going to work out great for me. I don't know about for him, but hopefully it'll work out great for him also. So I try to avoid any manual labor any time if I can.
Unless you have to put in some money.
Yeah.
You haven't invested any money, have you?
No, that's the thing. I don't put up my own money on anything ever. Not anymore. Not after the last five things I did. So, yeah.
Bill, what do you got coming up?
I'm going to be watching ESPN with my dick in my hand, pretty much. I got Laugh Factory every Wednesday, 8 o'clock, improv, 9:30 next Thursday. Just local stuff in LA.
I did Laugh Factory last week. I had to follow Dan Cook, who got a standing ovation.
Really?
Yeah, he was like saying like, yeah, I done comedy 34. He was really funny. He's like, I did comedy 34 years. So I went on after him. I'm like, I've been doing it 35 years just to like, you know, but I was so tired with such a headache. It didn't matter. I was like, I fucking rocked it. Cause I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, of course. Like, yeah.
But I'm going to be on Gutfeld this Friday.
Nice.
I'll be on the Greg Gutfeld show on Fox News. What do you got coming up, Don?
I got to go over to L.A. The fame. It's the Bare Knuckle Bodyguard Hall. And I don't know. I don't know how big of an event it's going to be. You know, the tickets are, they're telling, you know, tickets are selling out. Tickets are selling. They're $25 a piece, I think.
Wait, it's a Bare Knuckle Bodyguard competition?
No, Hall of Fame. It's the Bare Knuckle Bodyguard Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow. When is this?
It's September 7th.
Oh, okay. And, well, if you need a place to crash, I got you.
Okay.
Perfect. I didn't know there were enough Bare Knuckle Bodyguards to have a Hall of Fame. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of them wear gloves, you know, I mean, to hide the evidence, you know.
I'm serious, Don, I'm serious. We have a guest room, so you could always crash here.
All right. Thanks, partner.
No problem. All right. Well, you guys are the best. I hope you guys have a great week. Love you guys. Take care.
See you, man.
Bye-bye.